Well, the breaking news this morning is the New South Wales Health Minister, Brad Hazzard, is in isolation, identified as a possible close contact of a likely positive COVID-19 case. He says the likely positive case works at New South Wales Parliament. This is the state of the world we live in, of course, during a global pandemic. But until now, New South Wales has been considered the gold standard for managing COVID. But is the crown starting to slip? Yesterday, the state recorded 16 new cases, taking the state's total to 38, in turn prompting fresh restrictions. So far, the Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, is insisting New South Wales can get through this without a lockdown, something the Prime Minister praised in Question Time yesterday.
I commend the New South Wales Premier for the way that she is handling the outbreak in New South Wales, the fact that she hasn't gone to lock down Australia's biggest city, but she has taken, I think, the very positive decision to keep Sydney open and to keep New South Wales open for its residents, Mr Speaker.
That's the Prime Minister yesterday, but some public health experts are warning the government's playing with fire. And the longer a government waits to lock down, the more damaging things can get. Professor Tony Blakely is an epidemiologist at the University of Melbourne. Tony Blakely, welcome back to Breakfast.
Yeah, good morning, friend.
What do you think? Should Gladys Berejiklian be commended with this positive decision, or is she playing with fire? Where do you fall in this?
Well, it's actually quite a tricky decision. So essentially, the way I like to think about it is that imagine you had a time machine and we re-ran what's happened in the last week again and again and again, I would expect that less than half the time they would get through from this point without a lockdown. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at a lockdown with greater than 50% probability, I think. And the issue there is if that happens, the lockdown's probably going to have to be longer to get rid of the virus because it is so infectious. But on the other side, they may get lucky. New South Wales has been very lucky as well as doing things well in the past and sneak on through. But with the number of cases now that are not known how they're linked back to the cluster with unknown chains of transmission out there, I really think they're going to have to do more than what they are now.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, as you say, New South Wales has managed to get outbreaks under control with testing, tracing and isolating, not resorting to major lockdowns. But other states, you're in Victoria, of course, they stamped out the latest cluster with a lockdown, but it went for a couple of weeks. Queensland did it with a few days, as did South Australia and WA. Is this a problem? We're seeing different strategies, or is it reasonable for different states to try different strategies because the way this the variants, you know, move is changing and different cities operate in different ways?
Look, I think it's been quite useful having this variation because, you know, we're all learning as we go, and particularly as the variants get more and more effective. So we have learnt from New South Wales. They have taught us that we can be a little bit more relaxed, certainly with previous variants. But with this current variant, it is so infectious. So here's one example. The restrictions that were put in place yesterday still allowed 20 people to go to a gym wearing masks, which I think is pretty crazy, to be blunt, because if you're breathing heavily, exercising, the mask is still going to leak stuff around the side. So there's some sort of measures happening at the moment in New South Wales that I think are not well thought through, and they should be tightening down in a few areas, if not going into a lockdown.
The concern is the Delta variant. I mean, the Health Minister, Brad Hazzard, who's himself in lockdown at the moment, hope he's all right, but clearly worried, describes the Delta variant as presenting a very real and present danger, yet still no lockdown. The state government is obviously trying to lead the way in Australia to show how we learn to live with the virus. The Prime Minister, as we heard, is commending that. That's what the government wants to happen. Inevitably, will this be able to happen more with more confidence as more and more of us get vaccinated? Is that the key here?
Yes. Now, let's go back to what you said, though, about learning to live with the virus. We are nowhere near being able to learn to live with the virus. Learning to live with the virus means you don't eliminate it. It will get out of control. Look, we've modelled this several times, and it just goes crazy, basically. And as far as when we can learn to live with the virus and not go for elimination, we'll need vaccination rates of at least 70%, probably higher. Unfortunately, with this variant becoming more infectious, we need, it's a back of the envelope, but roughly greater than 80% of the population immune. And that means, unfortunately, perhaps 90% of the population vaccinated, given vaccines not perfect. So, you know, things are going to be okay around Christmas time in Australia because we'll have the vaccination rate up, we'll have our borders locked. But when we open those borders up next year and the virus does come back in, it is going to be bumpy.
Just talking about the modelling, Tony, I think I'm right in saying it was your modelling in part that, you know, informed the Victorian government's latest lockdown. Is that correct?
That's correct.
If you're modelling, I don't know if you've done any, but if the state government of New South Wales were looking at your modelling, do you think they'd be locked down by now?
Again, it comes back to a judgment call. So you still have to have a chief health officer and other health experts looking at modelling. Modelling's not the be-all and end-all. You need to consider the where the cases are coming from, all that sort of thing. What I can say about our modelling, though, is it shows that this virus being twice as infective as the virus we were dealing with last year during the Victorian second wave, it makes things so much harder. And we are now in a race to get enough of the population vaccinated that can dampen transmission. So to give another angle on this, given that this virus is twice as infective as one that we were dealing with last year, it essentially means that you need half the population vaccinated to get back to where you were last year as far as being able to control spread. We have got better at all our contact tracing, so that gives us an advantage. But this is proving to be quite some pandemic.
Yeah, I think we're lucky that our contact traces are at least twice as good as they were, I think, at the beginning, which is excellent.
Exactly.
On the vaccine, the federal government released yesterday the vaccine delivery modelling for the rest of the year. We now know AstraZeneca will be phased out by October. That was a surprise, I think. Pfizer and Moderna will become the key vaccines. AstraZeneca, it's homemade, was supposed to be the cornerstone of a vaccine campaign. Did the government get that wrong?
Well, in retrospect, yes, but hindsight is a wonderful thing. I think at the time I would have certainly made the same decisions the government did, to have sovereignty of production, but it's just so happened to pan out that the mRNA vaccines are that much better and AstraZeneca has this rare side effect. I don't think it's too surprising to see AstraZeneca being shown that it's got a horizon of October. I think that writing's been on the wall for quite some
period
of time.
What's it going to mean, though, Tony, for people who are being urged to get AstraZeneca now? Doesn't it signal to people, well, I'll just wait till October? If people are concerned, people over 60 are concerned, this is going to just increase the number of people who decide to wait, isn't it? Is that a problem?
That is a potential issue, but I'll use myself as an example. I'm 54, I've had my first AstraZeneca, and I'm definitely going to get my second one. It's still a really good vaccine with an incredibly low risk profile. The reality is, for somebody like me, I may well need an mRNA booster just before we open the borders next year. So people who are having AstraZeneca now may well get an mRNA booster first cab off the rank next year when we start boosting.
And we've only got 30 seconds to the news, but it's fair to say that one dose of either vaccine does not protect us very much against this Delta variant. It certainly should be an impetus for people to move and get a second dose.
Oh, yeah, certainly get your second dose, but you still get some protection with the first dose. It's not, you know, wait until your second dose. So getting your first dose helps enormously. Getting your second dose, particularly with AstraZeneca, which takes those two doses to normally be effective, is a smart thing to do.
Tony Blakely, thanks for joining us again on Breakfast.
Pleasure.
Professor Tony Blakely is an epidemiologist at the University of Melbourne.